File 6.
AudiobookForFree.com provides advertisers with a mechanism to put their adverts to the relevant listener according to the listener's hobbies and lifestyle. Adverts heard with our books will be of more interest and relevance to the individual listener than traditional radio adverts.
Technique number 11. Give first date butterflies. When planning your first date, find out what really pulls your quarry's strings. Then plan an arousing emotional experience. You don't have to risk life and limb together, but a little early co-anxiety is a proven aphrodisiac. And then, of course, it's nice to have dinner afterward so you can, quote, discuss the traumatic experience. No matter what activity you choose for your first date, it's probably going to involve dinner, before, after, or as the main event. Many men dread the grueling chore of having to choose a restaurant. Should he impress you and depress his wallet, or take you to his favorite hamburger joint? Make it easy for him, and show him you're not a gold digger at the same time. If he asks you for suggestions, come up with this, quote, great little place you think he might enjoy. Read Charming But Cheap. Technique number 12 for huntresses, called I Know a Great Little Place. The way to a man's heart is through his stomach and his wallet. In every woman's little black book should be the name of a fabulous, charming, and inexpensive restaurant. Men, you too can choose a charming and inexpensive bistro, although beware that a first-class dinner at an expensive restaurant is an aphrodisiac for many women. There is a strong argument for taking a lady to an upscale restaurant on the first date, and not just to impress her with your gold credit card. You will come off better in a plush setting. Here's proof. Researchers showed pictures of men and women in various settings to subjects. The subjects judged the same men and women to be more attractive when they were shown seated in a pleasant room with beautiful paintings and draperies, thus showing that people transfer their feelings about the ambience to whomever they are with. Technique number 13 for hunters. Spring for a nice restaurant. If you're dining out on your first date, take her to a restaurant with an atmosphere like the one you want to project. Elegant, upbeat, cool, arty. Atmosphere is important because she will transfer her feelings about the atmosphere to you. Gentlemen, there's also an argument for taking the lady to a plush party rather than a crowded bash. The title of a study called Hot and Crowded, Influence of Population Density and Temperature on Interpersonal Affective Behavior, says it all. Now, let's talk about your first date duds. Do clothes make the man? Do clothes make the woman? Of course not, but they dramatically influence a potential love partner's perception of you. And remember, their perception is all they have to go on when you first meet. When I first researched the ideal love hunting outfit, I thought, as perhaps you do now, that clothes are more important on the women. Not so. Men's instinctive ability to mentally undress a woman makes a girl wonder if it was worth spending that last month's paycheck on that great Versace ensemble. How curious it is that a woman will ruminate for hours on what to wear on a date, whereas a man grabs the first threads his groping hand hits in the darkened closet. And unless the studies lie, it should be the exact opposite. Men's hunting gear is far more important to make the kill than a woman's. Let's once again turn to science to get the bottom line on clothes. In a University of Syracuse study, both men and women were shown pictures of opposite-sex individuals. Some of the men and women in the photos wore chic, upscale clothes, and the others wore less expensive outfits that ranged from cheap to downright cheesy. The results? Hunters first. The women were asked six hypothetical questions, all the way from who would you choose to marry to, a rather surprising scientific probing, who would you choose for a one-night stand. How the male was dressed was extremely more important to the women. Many women have an uncanny ability to spot a pair of Gucci shoes on a man a quarter of a mile away across a crowded ballroom. Evolutionary theorists tell us that a woman subconsciously listens to her genes. When a man is well-dressed, It signifies his ability to provide for her eventual offspring. So even when she's saying, "Should I or shouldn't I tonight?" how well you could care for her unborn children is in the back of her mind. Don't blame the woman. She's just instinctively doing what Mother Nature decrees. Now, Huntresses, how you were dressed really didn't matter. The male is going to mentally undress you anyway. So, ladies, concentrate more on your makeup, your healthy-looking hair, your posture, your look of confidence and health. Hunters, Huntresses, we have now gotten our feet wet by immersing them in the all-important firsts. First glance, first approach, first moves, first conversation, and first date. Even what clothes to wear. Let us now proceed into deeper, more subliminal waters. We're going to explore lovers' needs for similar, yet complementary qualities. Before we start our journey, however, I ask only one thing of you. Please suspend any preconceived notions of what you should and should not do in a relationship. Listen to what science tells us about our cunning ambition to get someone to fall in love with you. For that, we need some extremely subtle techniques. Techniques which follow. Crucial element number two to make your quarry fall in love with you. Giving the sense of having similar character, yet fulfilling their complementary needs. You've heard the old chestnut, opposites attract, and Mom and Dad undoubtedly told you birds of a feather flock together. Sound like contradictions, don't they? But in the magically insane yet scientifically rational universe of romantic love, they're not. Here's why. All the studies tell us lovers are drawn to partners with similar attitudes, values, interests, and outlooks on life. In our fast-paced world of so many stimuli bombarding us every minute, our heads are spinning. We are constantly asking ourselves, how should I feel about that? What should I believe? With the grains of so many truths and so many lies whirling round our brains, we wonder, what really makes sense? Finally, when we find someone who has come to the same conclusions about the world, we feel a tremendous sense of relief. We feel close to them. Love romanticizes that into, it's you and me, baby, alone against this mad, mad world. Similarity is safe. Yet too much similarity over time becomes boring. So people seek differences. But here's the rub. They only seek certain kinds of differences. Lovers want qualities that are just different enough to keep the relationship interesting, but not interfere with their own lifestyle. They choose partners who can give them new experiences, expose them to new ideas, teach them new skills, improve their lifestyle, make up for their lacks. These are called complementary qualities. The definition of complementary is something that, quote, completes or brings to perfection. For instance, a bashful man might be drawn to a gabby mate to make up for his own shyness. A woman lacking in worldly sophistication might be impressed with a man who knows his wines. So you see, lovers are not looking for something vastly different in a partner, just different enough to fit in with their lives and bring them, as a couple, to perfection. To make someone fall in love with you, that's your assignment. The following similarities, or lack of them, will show up at various stages of your relationship. Number one is conspicuous, unmistakable, and easy to create. Number two becomes evident to your quarry gradually, usually over the span of the first few dates. Number three is subtle, elusive, and it can take years to unfold, often after it's too late. It's also the one that is most insidious and gives couples the biggest problems in the long run. This final similarity is deeply buried, often carefully camouflaged, and seldom voluntarily revealed. To excavate it, you must sharpen your pickaxe and dig way down. Let us explore each type of similarity. Then I will give you techniques to make your new PLP sense that you are soulmates in all three. Similarity number one is what interests the two of you have. What kind of hobbies, sports, and activities do you both enjoy? What kind of music do you both like? What films do you enjoy? What books do you read? Huntresses, beware. This one's more important than you think. Let's look at a trite but true fact. Women deepen relationships by talking together. Men bond by doing things together. A woman longs for a man who understands her, who she can talk to. She likes to feel that when the going gets tough, there will be a big shoulder to cry on, a strong arm to comfort her, and, above all, a sympathetic ear to listen to her. Good verbal communication is important to a man, too, but it's higher on the female wish list. Now, a man wants a woman who enjoys the same activities, one he can have fun with. He likes to feel they can play tennis, go to concerts, basketball games, movies, or just sit home and be side-by-side couch potatoes. Doing things is important to a woman, too, but it's higher on the male wish list. Fortunately for huntresses, it's easy to show a man this first kind of similarity. You can make him think you enjoy his interests very early in a relationship, often in the first conversation. I have a buddy named Phil. Well, my friend Phil told me about a woman he recently met at a party. He liked her. She seemed to like him. As a prelude to inviting her to break away from the party and go to a jazz club with him, he alluded to his deep interest in jazz. Oh, I used to go to jazz clubs. Well, so much for that one. Then Phil mentioned that the classic film Casablanca was playing at the local art cinema. Oh, yeah, I saw it. That was the end of that. This woman may have known a lot about jazz and old movies, but she had a thing or two to learn about men. Don't cut them off at the pass. In fact, huntresses, when you learn what interests him, hint that that's your passion, too. Many men ask a woman out just because she enjoys the same activities he does. I have another buddy named Derek, a very good-looking man who lives in Orlando, Florida. Poor Derek is at wits' ends because he loves to jet ski every weekend. He also adores women. And because his free time is limited, he must make a choice. You can bet the first lady who crosses her fingers behind her back and says, "Oh, jet skiing, I've always wanted to try that," will have a date with Derek and a head start on capturing his heart. If your quarry likes stamp collecting, kite flying, or going to sambo wrestling matches, tell him of your fervor for stamps, kites, or sambo wrestlers. Many men have a passion for an activity and a passion for women, but few can blend them.